Good morning and welcome to the broadcast here at Hilltop Baptist Church. And we're so thankful that you could tune in. This ministry means a lot to us. And who knows, you could be driving down the road today or sitting at home listening to the radio, and you could get saved today just by what the Word of God says. We're going to be talking today about, if I had a title to the message, I would call it, "What Are You Thinking?" Okay? And if you notice, that's a phrase that you can say it like I just said it, you know, kind of casually, "What are you thinking?" Or, "What on earth are you thinking?" And there's been many times in our life, I'm sure, that we have, after an incident has happened, we say to ourselves, you know, if I would have just thought about what I was doing or what I was thinking or what I was saying, I wouldn't be in this mess right now. We know that God gave us a mind and He gave us the ability to think. And every single thing that we do in our life will start as a thought, okay? You know, it's a process that God created in us, and it is a it is something that could be used for good, or it could be used for evil. And we know that God does not want us to use our mind for evil. He doesn't want our use our mind for sinning. But before I read any other scriptures, I want to read you this, and I hope that each and every time that God gives me the opportunity to preach, that somewhere I would say this right here. 1 John 5:13, the Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." And that verse means so much to me. And in essence, what it is saying is "these things have I written unto you." This is not a man-made book, even though God used men to write the Bible. He, you know, told them exactly what to say, and they wrote it down. But if you start believing, I don't care who you are or where you come from or what part of the country you live in, let me give you some very godly advice right now. Every preacher and every pastor that gets up before people is not, they're not all telling the truth. And if you take away or add to anything in this King James Bible, you are in deep trouble. And you will definitely have to pay a very severe price for it. The Word of God is the most important thing that we have on this earth. It's the only thing that we have on this earth that is perfect. There is nothing else. The Holy Ghost that indwells believers, and that it's His job to convict and point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only perfect thing that we have on this earth. There's nothing any more perfect than the Word of God. And I'm just going to read it one more time, because think about how important it is. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ definitely wants us to know what He says. And then it's up to us to reject the Lord Jesus Christ or to accept Him. But in Proverbs 23:7, the Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Okay? So we know that we are what we think. That's why we have to safeguard so much about what we believe. And in Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible tells us, starting off in verse 3, "Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to the eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler." I'm sorry. Let's go to verse 17. I was wrong there. "A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devilish wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." These are the things that God hates, but listen to what the Bible says right there. You know, let's go up just a little bit. I missed something here. In verse 14, "Forwardness is in his heart. He devilish mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate, even are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devilish wicked imaginations." Now let me, I'm building up to something that you'll see here in just a little bit, but that imaginations, we live in a time, and it was just as bad in the old days as it is now, but wicked imaginations. How many times do you think the average person in America that is, you know, of the wicked, that is out doing these things like these terrible, killing of those innocent children? You can't get any more wicked than that, to kill innocent children. And, what was going on in that boy's mind before he did that? You know, he definitely had wicked imaginations. You would have had to have planned out and craftily worked that out in your mind and determined that you were going to do something evil. And we know that that is a very, very terrible thing. So let's go now to Philippians chapter 4. Well, before we do that, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And then this is all building up for what I want to preach on today. In Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, starting off in verse 1, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord." There's our mention of like-mindedness. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Here we go again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And as we notice in these scriptures, we see that the words like like-minded and, let this mind. See, these are what God wants you to think upon. And the best one that I know of is Philippians chapter 4 and starting off with verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And the phrase at the end of verse 8 says, think on these things. And that's what I want to preach on today is, you know, it's so easy for people to get their mind in the gutter. It's so easy for people to be sidetracked. It's so easy, even in our own local churches, it's so easy for people to be rude to one another. It's so easy for them to, when they see a person having a problem, just go ahead and mock them, talk about them, put them down, instead of loving them and going and trying to help them. And, I got to thinking about, the NRA was had a very good idea. They had the very same idea I had after this shooting, is that why not put a police officer or some sort of a professional security guard with a weapon at each and every school? I think it's a wonderful idea. And, you know, when I was a young boy, when I went to school in the 50s, at being the age group that these young people were, people would have laughed at you if they would have ever said you need an armed guard at a school. But those are different times, and these are different times. The wicked run rampant. The evildoers, the slaughterers, the shedding of innocent blood, people that run, it used to be every once in a while you'd hear about something like this, but it's every time you turn around. And, you know, it's not guns that kill people, it's people that kill people. And there is literally hundreds of ways that you can kill somebody. If somebody determines in their heart wickedly that I'm going to waste some people, I'm going to take some people out, there's many other ways than just using a gun that they could do it. And, guns to the law-abiding people are something that God almost commands us to be able to protect ourselves, and so does the Second Amendment. But the thing that we have to stop and think about is, you know, you have to lock your doors. You have to be prepared to protect yourself in this wicked time that we live in. And the Bible is clear that this is exactly the way it's going to be when he comes back. And, you know, the rapture of the church is the very next thing to happen. There's no, nothing else has to happen before that rapture. And then once that rapture happens, then we know that the wickedness and evil will even go more rapid than what it is now. But the Bible says to think on these things. And that's what I would like to ask you today. What on earth are you thinking? What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Let me give you some examples of what some of the things that you should be thinking about. Okay? Do you think about where you're going to spend eternity? We, you know, the majority, and I say that not sparingly, but it almost makes me cringe to say it, but it's true. But sometimes I think that in the average church, there's probably more lost people than saved people, okay? There's a lot of people that says are saved. Anybody can say I'm saved. That doesn't make you saved. What you say doesn't mean anything. What you have makes all the difference in the world. The Bible says that when a person truly gets born again, they receive the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? It is a gift. It is the perfect gift. And the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the precious blood that he shed at Calvary is the only thing that can save you. When you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are willing to repent of your sin, then you can get saved. And I'm going to tell you right now, God knows your heart, okay? You don't know your heart. The Bible says that the heart is wicked and evil, and who can know it? Well, let me tell you what, God can know it, okay? And the difference between somebody getting saved and somebody not getting saved is when a person is being dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Ghost of God, and they are being drawn and they are being convicted that they're not. Sometimes I feel like slapping people in the mouth when I hear them say this. They say, well, all you have to do is know that you're lost. Once you know you're lost, then you know you can get saved. Well, you do have to know you're lost, okay? But you have to know that you're not only lost, but because of being lost, you are going to go split hell wide open. You are a person that needs to escape hell. And the only way that you'll ever escape hell is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The precious blood that he shed is the only thing, and I mean the absolutely only thing that can take the sin off of your life. And when you get saved, the Bible says that you are forgiven as far as the east is from the west, which is impossible to connect. And that means everything. You are forgiven of all your sin, all. So keep that in mind if you're lost today. Keep that in mind, because that's something that you should really be thinking on. You know just as well as I know, just in this little town of Newport, Tennessee, I believe we have, you know, three funeral homes. I know we have two. I think we have three, and we might even have more that I'm not thinking about. But you can check in the newspaper, you know, the three times that our paper comes out every week, or you can drive by and you can realize that people die. Even in this little town, people die. I've known of a lot of people that have died this year in this town. And when you die, there's absolutely nothing that you can do to change your destiny. Your destiny is taken care of before you die. And it's either rejection or exception. You either accept the Lord Jesus Christ by what the Bible says, not by what this man says, what that man says. I tell people all the time, you can give your testimony and you can tell where you were and how you were and what kind of life you were living before you got saved, and then where you were when you got saved, and then what's happened to you after you got saved, because that is your testimony. But if you don't share the Word of God, you know, you could not have possibly got saved without the Word of God. It would have been impossible. And you could have got the word by somebody quoting verses to you. You didn't necessarily have to read it yourself out of the Bible. Somebody could have been reading it to you. Somebody could have been sharing it with you on the radio like we are. But you had to have the Word of God to get saved. It's impossible to get saved outside of the Word of God. And you will understand that not only are you a sinner, but you are a sinner in need of a Savior that will take away your sin. Now, let me read this one more time, and then I have some other scriptures here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have done, I'm sorry, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I'm going to tell you, folks, it's like this. Every single day when you get up out of that bed, you're going to have a choice of what you think about. You can have bad thoughts come in your mind, and they can go in one ear and out the other. Or you can have bad thoughts come in your mind, and you can sit there and you can dwell on them. You can do what King David did. You know, I love, you know, what the Bible says about King David, but the best thing that I like about King David is that when he sinned, he repented of his sin. There is not another person in the Bible that I know of that deals with that subject any more than the King David. But let me tell you something, using his life as an example. When he stood out on his balcony and he looked down and he saw Bathsheba naked, he could have let it go right at that. He could have said, there's a naked woman, I better get back inside. There's nothing for me out here. He could have said that. He could have done that. But you know what? His mind got to thinking. And he got to thinking, well, you know, she sure looks beautiful. You know, it sure would be nice if I could be with that woman. And you know what? He thought about it enough that that's exactly what he did. And I thank God that he did repent of his sin. But where that started took him a long, long way. It affected his whole life all the way. He had to reap what he sowed, and he had to reap a lot. His family was destroyed just about, and that baby was dead. You know, Bathsheba's husband was dead. So it cost other people a whole lot because of David's sin. But like I say, and I'll put that one down right here, as I say again, thank God he had the sense to repent of his sin. Repentance starts at salvation, and it never ends. It's something that absolutely never ends. Okay, let's now turn to Galatians chapter 6. And the Bible tells us, starting off in verse 3, well, let me just start off here in verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such, and one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in him, in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And there's that think again. For if a man think himself to be something, do you think that the devil thought he was something? He sure must have. Old Lucifer thought that he was going to be above God. And we know that that's impossible. Just before I close, I'd just like to tell you this, that like I told you before, without faith and repentance, you cannot be saved. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. And the Bible also tells us, repent and turn to God and do works which give evidence of repentance. And we know that without the blood of Jesus Christ, it's impossible for anybody to be saved. And let me give you an open invitation. If you don't fully understand what being saved is, and you'd like to be saved, and you want to come visit our church, I guarantee you there's men and women here that will share the word of God with you. Thank you.